Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's bow in prayer. Our God and Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your work in this body, Father. We thank you for the Spirit that indwells, that we see the word and it's made alive in our lives. At this time, Father, we bow before you and ask that you would just assist me, assist the hearers, assist the ones who are seeking but yet have not found you. Let them know that you are seeking them. And Father, we bow before you and seek you out this day in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd have you turn to Ephesians. Familiar passages. How many times have you read through it? Familiar, but yet we need reminded. I went through the first part of this chapter earlier this year. And we come to the prayer that Paul addresses the Ephesian church. So let us learn from this. In chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and of knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also to the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills it all in all. Paul is reminding the church and reminding us as we look into this, what has happened in this great and glorious salvation that we have in Christ. He displays it earlier in this chapter of this mighty working of the Godhead, and closes out that end of talking about this marked seal in the Holy Spirit, which guarantees us our inheritance. But a lot of times we forget that, do we not? We forget it because we're in the midst of the turmoil. We're not yet, as we think of the Beatitudes, we're blessed, but yet we're still mourning and we're looking ahead. Everything is looking ahead. Paul shows his love for the church and reminds them that he is faithfully praying for them and giving thanks. Again, a reminder to us of where this, you know, he testifies it to later in this chapter, our glorious inheritance. And sometimes we think our inheritance is here as we strive after things that are empty. We wonder what's going on. We have to have clarity by the word of God to understand who we are in Christ. Chapter 2 is familiar because it shows this. We were on a swing. I love to sit on the swing in the morning and meditate. And how were we before? We were like that show. I never watched it. Land of the Living Dead, you know, The Walking Dead. They're always, all those people, I don't know why you'd watch it. I don't want to offend anybody if they watch it, but it's how we were. We were once dead in our transgressions, trespasses, but now we have this glorious inheritance. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, He's asking for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge him, having the eyes of our hearts enlightened, that we will know what is the hope in which he's called us. That's faith, is it not? Too often we live as there's blinders on us. We see ourselves, we see our circumstances, and we don't get the big view. You know, some of you were in hospitals this past week or last week, Joyce and Butch, and it's not easy. It's not fun. But we know we're being molded and shaped, all of us. Paul reminds us that this prayer is an example to us. Quite frankly, if we're praying for one another and understanding this glorious inheritance we have as the saints, sometimes that's going to take our mind off of our own sinfulness and remind us the pattern of what we need to be. It brings us on track. As we think of the power of God and that great power he demonstrates here, he's encouraging them. He said, we've all who have believed and trusted themselves have that power. But quite frankly, that power in us isn't something like the world sees. It's not that pride that, you know, puffs us up and we can do anything. We're like a soldier who's crazy going into battle. We're those that are mindful of our surroundings. We're mindful for what God's given us. I just reminded that in 2 Corinthians. And turn there. This kind of gives expression to what's really going on. For we have this treasure in jars of clay to show. Forgive me for turning too quick. Chapter 4, we read in our New Testament. It gives a description of our life as we're walking along. As we think we're not making headway. We don't think we're making headway with even our own flesh that we're fighting against. We don't think we're making headway in our families ministering the gospel or in our workplace. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. We are the jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. As we're carrying this, the cross of Christ, it's impermeated on our hearts. It's what we believe. It convicts us. It guides us. It compels us, as he writes later in this chapter. It drives us to better service and better love for our neighbor, as Tim's instructed us in these past few weeks on being kind. We cannot take out effect that we're human responsible. That's the power of God that he sees fit to work in us. And we understand that what we carry is the saving power of the cross. It's not by our endeavors or how we are kind. You know, we do it. We ask for it. And we're willing servants. And again, Christ is that perfect example of enduring the cross in its scorn and shame. He will always be our example as we strive and look ahead. It's never going to be anything else. But we do learn from one another, do we not? Imperfect as we are, the instruction here in Ephesians is always to be praying and building up one another. So back to Ephesians. We are By faith lived out in our weaknesses, we understand the power of God as we overcome these obstacles in our lives. And there's many obstacles, you know. When I try to think through and how I'm to address the body of Christ, it's amazing of how many things that God brings to your mind. Afflicted. Struggles. It's rampant. It's who we are as a people of God. And do not forget that when we were dead in our sin, we were callous. We could care less what our spouse thought or our kids thought. But now, by the power of God and working of His Spirit, He's given us this new heart to think about an issue like kindness. See, Peter writes that also and addresses as His divine power has given us all we need in life and godliness. And then he addresses what we're to do. And that's where the Spirit, and we see His power working. As we endeavor to do His will, as we understand this, what He's called us to, this hope, it's not here, is it? No, it's ahead of us. It's this inheritance we have with one another. This glorious inheritance in the saints, as Paul says in verse 18. I was thinking about this body as well as we understand our love towards one another. That just didn't happen. That was faithful saints through the years and now too, that faithfully pray for this working of a unity in love towards one another that would be expressed in our community, that they would see our love towards one another. And that's how the gospel goes out. That coworker you're working with who's not quite lovable, and those acts of kindness you're doing, which are only by the power of the Spirit you can do. As you trod along, I think it's adequate to say we're trotting along. It's like a journey, but yet it's a difficult path. We're looking forward. In the midst of it all, we know that trouble awaits us around the corner, and you're in the midst of trouble. But yet realizing the work of Christ, what He's accomplished. Not forgetting it's the Father's purposes. He was well pleased to set these things in motion. It was Christ's willingness to go to the cross to purchase a people. In the Spirit indwells those who believe. He shows us the power that is quite frankly, it's nothing you can really describe to your unbelieving friend. How can you take a dead person and make him alive? That's what Christ has done in us. He's made us alive because we were driven by every passion of our flesh, Ephesians 2, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But it was His rich kindness. As I reflected on this, we think about this anticipation, looking ahead. I challenged the high schoolers today, and do you think Christ has accomplished everything? He's at the right hand of the Father. It's not quite accomplished till the consummation. When we will be His people and He will be our God, the things that were lost in Adam are restored. Paul's reminding them if they love God or not, because we're reminded in the scriptures, if you don't love the saints, the love of God's not in you. We examine our hearts. Do we love God? Yes. Yes. This power that's not of our own. You see that working out as we think about prayer. Look at Psalm 34. I just thought it was appropriate. David longed for the days we live in. As he testifies, and again, the power of God is seen as we understand the Word of God. We understand the Word of God and the Spirit of God wrote it. Just as Paul would testify, it was the Spirit working in me, so is the Spirit working through David to proclaim these promises to us. It's a good template for our lives. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Again, let us exalt his name together. The lifting up, the encouraging of one another. Why we meet on Sundays is to encourage and edify and build up. And hopefully it's something that's driven by our weak endeavors as being mindful of others. I know life's busy. Life is crazy, but there's always time for prayer for one another. And that's what Paul is trying to encourage the body before he instructs them on putting off and putting on and conforming. Justification has already happened. We are all made right in the eyes of God. But sanctification is the hard work of looking into the Word of God and humbling ourselves and saying, yes, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. To know my God by his Spirit is to know the power of God working in us. That I will make this boast, whether I am afflicted with disease or death itself, I will make my boast in my God. For he's done such great things and marvelous things. He's brought me from death to life. I will make my boast in the Lord. I don't think I'm pulling too far away what Paul wanted to say in Ephesians. He wanted them to see the full measure of the salvation. He wanted them to be encouraged and lifted up and strengthened. And here's verse 4, Psalm 32. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. I think we can all ascribe to that. He heard us. I would say to you who are away from the grace of God that it's this promise that you need to know. Seek the Lord while he may be found. This time of redemption for you who have tasted the fear of the Lord, and yet, I don't know. Well, you're looking in your own strength. Understand that he will transform you. Are you still in your sin? Is it all happy? I'd testify, and many here would testify, that sin's a dreary place to be. Even in our battle in it, we know it's not mastering us. We're made new by this justification work of Christ. That when Jesus Christ is proclaimed, our hearts, and when it's cursed, Father, forgive them.
They're ignorant.
We will be the ones who march with that banner of truth and hope. It's what Peter says Be ready. Be ready. This hope that lies within you is going to bring somebody to a place of, wow, where is God? Why are you acting that way? Why are you so kind to me? Why'd you not curse me out? Why'd you ask forgiveness? These are the things. As we think of the fruit of the Spirit, that's the power of God working in us. Are we heavy laden? Not in Christ. If we're in our sin, we are heavy laden. We're drowning. Call out to Christ. For us in Christ, we're beat up at every time. This is what Paul says in Corinthians. I'm perplexed, but yet not surprised, because I know the world doesn't understand that God's put me in this place to go out. Yeah, that's why we're worshiping with the saints today, to go out in battle, to proclaim something that's far more powerful than any principality. See, that's what he addresses later in this chapter. Far above all rule and authority. Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You want to win that co-worker or family member over? Do the things he calls us to do by acts of kindness. Not for anything, for the gospel. An ambassador of Christ carries the flag of Christ upon his heart. Not proud, humble, aware, always seeking to please God and love his neighbor. In the process, self has to be battled against. I know. Look at these promises in the psalmist. Come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Verse 11, what man is there who desires life and love many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace, pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, his ears towards their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. You see the urgency of coming to Christ? When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. He delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. There we see our Redeemer. Our Redeemer, who is at the right hand of God and looks forward to this consummation when we are. I like what Jonathan Edwards writes here. Now, Christ the great Redeemer shall be most perfectly glorified. God the Father shall be glorified in him, and the Holy Spirit shall be most fully glorified in the perfection of his work on the hearts of all the church. And now shall that new heaven and new earth, or that renewed state of things, be completely finished after the material frame of the old heavens and the old earth is destroyed. And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And now will the great Redeemer have perfected everything that apprehends to the work of redemption, which he began so soon after the fall of man, and who conceive of the triumph of those praises which shall be sung in heaven on that great occasion. So great, greater than the fall of the Antichrist, the beloved disciple John seems to want expression to describe these praises and say, It was the voice of many waters and as the voice of many thunders, saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. But much more inexpressible will those praises be, which will be sung in heaven after the final consummation of all things. How shall the praises of that vast and glorious multitude be as a mighty thundering indeed? That's what we hope for. That's what we anticipate. But in the midst of it all, if I encourage the people of God, rest in the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. Rest in his word and meditate on it as you go throughout the week. Pray for the saints and the unity and the love that we would have towards one another. And persevere by his spirit. And long for the day when we will all meet together with loved ones and friends that have all rested in the finished work of Christ. Let's pray in his name. Father, when we think of this glorious salvation, we're like little children. We can't even put a word to the majestic power of your hand in our lives. But oh, we do anticipate it. We anticipate you working this week in the simple things, in the things that disturb us, the things that, quite frankly, Father, we rest in you to remove. You made us alive in your Son, and we praise you for that. And we thank you for this church, and we praise you for your work. In Jesus' name, amen.